We received, I was not at that hearing, but I have Neil Johansson's notes, and those are in the file record here. Strong opposition to the concept of commercial light seeing helicopter trips in the park. We received a petition of over 200 signatures with addresses that was gathered in a matter of 3 or 4 days. And we decided, and with the advisory board's urging, that this issue was too hot of a public policy debate to deal with in that forum, and that we needed some broader public input. We then decided, and at the same time, we were dealing with the question of the proposed ski area in Eagle River, which is very close to this location, and the future management of the newly acquired Eagle River Greenbelt. We decided to defer the decision, not to deny it at that point, although remember we had denied the permit, so we had a parallel appeal process going on with the permitting question. Well, we decided to continue on with the concession approach. We decided to do this through the Chugach State Park Master Plan. It's true that the plan at the time said that helicopter skiing was allowed in the park, in the recreation development natural zones of the park, but prohibited the wilderness portion. It said nothing about helicopter flight seeing trips. We tended to think it would be the same, or certainly not a whole lot different than helicopter skiing, other than, of course, the time of year that it occurs. So we felt that it was not prohibited by the statute that created the park, nor by regulations, nor by the plan, but that we wanted to deal with it with more public input. So we then went through a four or five month process of updating the state park master plan to deal with this question. There were three issues on the agenda: the greenbelt, the ski area, and helicopter landings. The board also asked us to step back and look at all helicopter issues. There was a great deal of concern about overflights by the military, low-level overflights, nape of the earth flying, that sort of thing. And I think that much of the public frustration with helicopters comes not from landings, but low flying, and often by the military. Through that, we held public hearings in four locations, or I should say public meetings on the master plan. They were held in Wasilla, Eagle River, Anchorage, and Girdwood. We then drafted, after the first round of hearings, we drafted alternatives, approaches to deal with the question. We went back to the public in the fall, in September, with three options for helicopters, at least for the commercial landings. And those were no landing sites, one landing site, which was the one proposed by Alaska Helicopter, and multiple landing sites. And I think that it's important in considering public comment that you have to look at the form it's in. We openly admit that we weigh individual testimony and written letters a little more strongly than we do form letters or petitions. But what we've tried to do is to lay out the kinds of response we received, the relative positions people took. The groups that responded, two-thirds of them wanted no landing sites, 27% wanted one, and 9% wanted multiple sites. Oral testimony received, we had 63% favoring no landing sites, 19% favoring one site, 18% favoring multiple sites. Individual letters, 80% no sites, 10% one site, 10% multiple sites. Form letters, we had 100% favoring multiple sites, with this did not include either the petition that was received opposed to any landings earlier. This was strictly the input we received during the master planning process. It was admittedly a tough call. It boiled down to us deciding that, again, it was not a park resource conflict or a user conflict. It was a question of public policy, and to what extent do we manage the park based on the attitudes of the local community and the values of the local community. From our 9 public meetings on this, we felt that the community's values were to not allow. That was the decision we made. That decision was embodied in the amendments to the park management plan, and that's been our last.
Any questions of
Mr. Chairman, just to get where we are. Have you actually amended the Chugach Park so that it does not allow helicopters?
Does not allow private. It does not allow either private non-commercial landings nor commercial landings for flights. Landings are allowed for management purposes, search and rescue, law enforcement, wildlife studies.
Are helicopters allowed in any state parks now?
And yes, they are.
Where?
Kachemak Bay, we have a permittee there who's operated for at least 3 or 4 years flying people onto the glacier in the state.
Don't
state
you do
park
it here?
Across
do you do it here?
This would be the U.S. Forest Service.
Do they allow?
Yes, they do.
And is it, how is it in say, Denali, in other areas? Is that on a park by park, or what's the situation?
For us, again, we have no statutory prohibition, nor regulatory prohibition. We include, in our regulations, we include helicopters and fixed wing together. Park by park, it varies. Some places we limit to certain landing sites or strips. Chugach State Park is open on Aklutna Lake, or the Boulder Airstrip, or fixed wing. It's a park by park decision, and it's that we try to do that in the management process.
Any other questions, Senator Fanning?
What was the? I guess I can understand search and rescue, but I guess to the life of me, if a tour is detrimental, why would flying it by park personnel for management purposes be logical?
It the frequency is a difference. The feeling for the policy now limits us to situations where we cannot use reasonably used fixed wing. The policy requires us to use fixed wing whenever possible and to consult with the advisory board when we use rotary aircraft. For management purposes, there are things that have to be done. It's infrequent. We'll fly in materials for a bridge, possibly, or other backcountry facilities. Law enforcement.
Can visitors fly over it in fixed wing?
Yes, they may. Or rotary. We have no jurisdiction above the ground. We're really just dealing with landings.
Well, I guess it really doesn't make sense to me if you suggest that every visitor have to backpack anywhere they go, that your own personnel wouldn't meet those same requirements if it's a real necessity to meet the needs or purposes of the unit. I mean,
well,
I can't follow any logic there.
Well, I would submit that a commercial flight sim site would be operating 3 or 4 times a day, whereas management uses maybe once a month or once every 3 months.
And I hear you tell me that that you investigated it yourself and there were no user conflicts at the site.
Correct.
Therefore, it doesn't matter if we're doing it 200 times a day because there's nobody at the site.
Right.
And that secondly, biologically, there's no impact on the resources at the site. So the fact that it's going to the site or the relative frequency, since they're negligible or non-existent, I don't understand how that come into your decision at all.
It didn't. Our decision was based solely upon community attitudes, the values of the people that told us. It was a philosophical matter.
If the community told you that, Mr. Chairman, if the community told you that they didn't like hunting in the park and no firearms should be allowed, would you restrict them?
We do not have the authority to make that decision. That's the decision of the Department of Fish and Game.
No, restricting firearms, you do have that decision.
For public safety, yes.
Right. If the decision of the community was that for public safety purposes you should prohibit firearms in the park, if everybody in the community that testified, form letters, orally, verbally, written, testified that for public service reasons, public safety reasons, you should prohibit it, what I hear you saying is that even though you had evaluated and found that that wasn't true, as you've determined in this case that the conflict did not exist, you would make the regulation prohibiting firearms.
If they could prove to us that there was a public safety concern, and it was significant, we would consider it.
Senator Zalewski.
Mr. Chairman, if this passes and goes into, well, if it's adopted by the legislature, it's very clear what it says. What would you do?
I interpret it to require us to pretty much go back through the process that we did before. We have to go through the, at least I think to have a legally defensible decision, so we could stand up in the courts, we would have to go through a public involvement process of the same magnitude, which would require 8 public meetings, consideration of all amendments to the plan.
Mr. Chairman, in connection, you have, do you, regularly scheduled meetings of the advisory board? I mean, that's an ongoing process. We're not talking about going out and creating a new wheel. Something gets added to the agenda.
Correct. They meet now once a month. Although when we used their forum for the public hearing, they got real mad because it was a real problem for them. So we're not going to...
In other words, you then could use a separate hearing. But before you used their hearing...
The first time we did, the first meeting, we used their hearing meeting.
Senator Fanning.
I can only get back out if you let me rephrase my question a little bit more and get it. That's okay. No, I was. You stated that you had examined the site, or Mr. Johansson had examined the site, and that you determined that there was no user conflict.
Correct.
And that there was no biological reason.
That's right.
Therefore, there is no statutory or regulatory reason for you to prohibit the use. The reason that you base your prohibition of the use is simply on the comment of the public. Knowing in advance that any type of public comment that said that there was a public conflict was erroneous, or that there was biological damage was erroneous. My question to you was relative to the other thing, on the public safety. In other words, if you knew the public was wrong, you knew that you'd already proven there was not a public safety problem.
Correct.
But the public insisted to you in their comments, and it sounds to me like we're having a problem here as far as whether or not we agree with statistics on both sides of this, but if 90% of them said that there was a problem, you knew there wasn't, you would have to come down on the side of the public even though they were wrong that there wasn't a conflict.
No, I would treat the question of harm, discharge, and public safety the same way I would problems with wildlife impacts. If 90% of the public said there was no problem with the sheep lambing because of helicopters, but biologists told us otherwise, we would likely go with the biologist. What I was trying to say is when it's not a clear resource question, or a clear view of the user conflict, then it admittedly becomes a very gray area. And it becomes a question of allocation of the park resource and looking to, we're not then as a technical person making a decision on resource conflicts or allocating between snow machines, cross-country skiers, or hunters, and wildlife observers, or whatever. It's, we have to turn to the public and ask them how they want their park managed. We felt that what they told us was an expression of how they wanted to manage the park. Safety or resource problems is different. We use a different mechanism to deal with those decisions.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, not to belabor and certainly not to get an argument, but I mean, if in fact we are creating parks statewide with one of the major objectives, a tourist and visitor industry type objective, and yet if we make a decision based upon 27 groups that oppose any tourist development, and place heavier emphasis because those groups because they are a group, and don't consider statewide input nor the original purposes of the park, and I'm not indicating that I know for a fact you do not, but I'm not hearing that in the discussion. It seems to me that we are leaving in the hands of a few who can write more letters or go to a few public meetings in a specific locality the opportunity in those gray areas for you to decide to eliminate the purposes for which a park may have been created. And I think that that's a real tough policy. And it sounds to me like we've really stepped over the line here, and it's a tough call.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I would, if there's a question of checking philosophies or where people are coming from, I would suggest that, you know, we originally were very supportive of this, and it was public comment that turned us around, and that we look at public comment, we try to look beyond typical group responses, and we found a pattern of opposition that was not typical to groups that you normally find opposed to this kind of thing. It was a broad-based concern and comment we were receiving. It's a judgment call.
Any other questions? If not, thank you, gentlemen. We've got three more to testify, and I got 10 minutes. Kathy Andrzejczyk from the Alaska Air Carriers Association. Kathy, welcome to our table.
Thank you. For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Cynthia Andrzejczyk, and I'm with the Alaska Air Carriers Association as their executive director. The Alaska Air Carriers Association represents commercial aviation in the state of Alaska. We have many members who are involved in tourism and tourist-related businesses. We have several members other than Alaska Helicopters who are also involved in similar types of tours around the state of Alaska. These tour operators use state and federal lands that have come under similar types of scrutiny with the uses of the land. And these land conflicts have, in all other cases that I am aware of, been resolved to the mutual agreement of all parties concerned. And these tours are, in fact, in operation around the state. We would suggest that perhaps the DNR look and talk with the folks who have resolve the situations amiably to look for similar resolve in this particular case. Federal wilderness designated areas are some of the highest restricted use areas we have in the state of Alaska, helicopter tours being operated on federal wilderness land areas. They do use a permit system, and incidentally they receive revenues from this permit system, which could benefit Chugach State Park or any other of the agencies that may be involved in a similar permitting system. The use has been found compatible, the helicopter tour use has been found compatible with the other uses in these multi-use land areas and also in more restricted land areas. Helicopters allow equitable access to Chugach State Park. The state parks are for all the citizens of Alaska. Not all citizens of Alaska are as robust and healthy as our average 28-year-old in the state is. We do have elderly and handicapped persons who are now denied access to the park under almost all circumstances. This equitable access by use of helicopters and helicopter tours would allow more access to our state lands by more citizens in the state of Alaska and also our growing visitor population. Chugach is the closest alpine area to Anchorage. We have about half of our population in the state of Alaska lives in Anchorage, and we also get a large tourist group coming through Anchorage. This area is very accessible to both of those groups. It is not so far away as to prohibit the affordable access to our citizens and to our visitors. The current policy, as has been represented here, seems to be inconsistent. Current Chugach policy of eliminating helicopter use and landing within Chugach Park seems inconsistent with the state's other economic proposals for spending on economic development and tourism within the state of Alaska. The state currently spends approximately $8 million a year to promote tourism in this state, and certainly this closure for tourism and helicopter tours in Chugach Park is not consistent with economic development in the Anchorage area especially. We find that there is also an emphasis currently on private enterprise in the state of Alaska to help us out of our economic downfall right now. Here is a very valid well-thought-out, well-proposed plan to develop jobs and tourism in the state, and it is not being allowed. We feel that there has been, through DNR, no valid basis for disallowing the permit. Once the permit was initially submitted, there was no valid reason by the state's own admission for them disallowing the permit initially. They could have allowed the permit if they thought that there were some problems in the future. They could have begun studying the situation so that those problems, in fact, did not arise. At the last Board of Directors meeting of the Alaska Air Carriers Association, which was held here in Juneau at the end of March, the board, and I believe you'll find a copy of the resolution in your packet, the board unanimously passed a resolution which was supporting and endorsing HCR, House Concurrent Resolution 51. The principles in HCR 51 are very similar in nature to those in the Senate Concurrent Resolution 62. We would hope that you would pass this.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. Is there any questions?
Testing.
Good testing. Thank you. Patty Brown.
Is it a problem?
Thank you very much, Chairman and members of the committee. I do have a handout for you that includes a lot of my testimony. So I'll pass those around. First of all, my name is Patty Brown, and I'm a representative of the Alaska Environmental Lobby, which, just as a reminder, represents 20 different groups. I also would like to add that I have 13 years as a park ranger and extensive involvement in the issue of balancing various recreation uses. I also would like to mention that the teleconference opportunity was not available today due to the intensive schedule, but I would like to let you know that there were several people that wanted to testify against this resolution.
We got their messages, Patty.
Okay, first, this will be brief, but I'll outline a couple of different aspects. I believe there really are two issues at stake here. One is the issue of public process, and the other is the issue of the merits of helicopter uses in a state park. And as you consider the issue of using helicopters in state parks, maybe you could possibly separate the issue of the thrill of a helicopter ride as a tourist attraction itself versus helicopters as access to the park. There is a difference there. I would also like to affirm that the environmental lobby certainly does think that the use of public resources should be accompanied by public input, and as was supported by DNR's hearing approach. I believe that passage of SCR 62 tells the public that 8 months of testimony was meaningless. That's a pretty powerful statement to hand out to constituents. Hearings are accessible to everybody, and so is the post office, so people did have opportunities to give input. The Anchorage Daily News also opened a forum on this issue, and people could write into the newspaper and get quite a bit of exposure that way. It's a pretty expensive process to reopen the whole comment period again, and I don't see any reason why the whole input wouldn't be similar to what it has been. It's also an expensive process to analyze it and weigh it, and it seems like whichever way things are weighed, it's a controversy. DNR needs to spend time on other issues that are new and arising all the time to rehash an old issue seems redundant at this point. Okay, in regard to the helicopter issue itself, I believe three things. One, the use of helicopters in the state park is unnecessary. Two, it's intrusive. And three, it benefits few. Okay, first of all, on the issue of being necessary, it already is possible to fly over the state park and thus be able to see the scenery from that view, which, granted, is not the same as walking on the land at all. The alpine areas mentioned here, or alpine areas in general in Chugach, can be accessed by road. I understand that there has been some weight assigned to this. Is helicopter use is a good way for disabled people and elderly to access the park, but so far I haven't seen copies of any letter from disabled groups or elderly individuals promoting this bill. Primarily it's the helicopter industry promoting it. I also would like to name two spots that are excellent places to visit the alpine that you can get to by motor vehicle. One is the Glen Alps area, just outside Anchorage, and one is Arctic Valley, just up slightly south of the proposed helicopter landing site. Okay, second of all, the issue of being intrusive. Research on wilderness users has shown that users of wilderness believe that the most obtrusive thing of all in the wilderness is aircraft. And especially helicopter use, but both kinds of planes. research has been done in parks all over Alaska, and that's a point that comes up several times. Not only is the noise in the wilderness obtrusive, but it's also obtrusive to the people and communities next door. And there was discussion a moment ago about whether communities should be able to influence decisions on general state lands. And if the helicopters are flying over your house, it seems like your comments should be accommodated. The issue of user conflict apparently was scientifically evaluated by DNR, but according to the input that was brought forth in letters through the hearing process, there is user conflict. The reasons that were listed by visitors or by people who wrote in were the following: irreversible effect on wildlife, low stimulus to economy, benefits few, people cannot drive to the areas, the integrity of the park is threatened, does not fit in with park philosophy, helicopters can hover outside park boundary for the same view, and it does have a negative effect on other visitors in the park. So DNR perhaps evaluated that they could not see any potential user conflicts, but the people who wrote in saw otherwise. The issue of wildlife conflicts, apparently no biological aspects were documented, but as a resource biologist myself, I believe that it takes more than 1 year to study whether there's going to be impact on wildlife. One year's data doesn't confirm or to refute this data. It would take a little longer to figure that out. I might also add here that after being originally denied last winter, denied a permit, the helicopter industry approached the Forest Service to try to offer the same service on national forest land. And in general, the Forest Service does allow wider use. It truly is multiple use, not just multiple recreation use. And the Forest Service denied it based on a conflict with sheep habitat. I also would like to point out here that actual impact could be greater than DNR anticipates. Foot traffic in the same place all summer long in a place as fragile as Alpine could be greater than anticipated, depending, of course, on how much numbers are restricted. I did run across also a copy of an article in Anchorage Times, which discussed tours that would be available from Anchorage by helicopter, and one of them mentions that the aircraft would land so the passengers can get out and take close-up photographs of doll sheep or mountain goats. And two things come to my mind in that article. And one is that you're not going to have a close-up picture of a doll sheep after you've just landed a helicopter. And the second is that people are pursuing wildlife to take close-up photographs. There is impact on wildlife. Okay, and the last issue on benefiting few, the number of jobs actually created by this industry would be few. Quite a bit of the recruitment for helicopter pilots, according to those operating the same service near here, are often out-of-state residents because it only is a seasonal job. The number of tourists that can take advantage of this very expensive opportunity are few as well. It's believed that this is not actually meeting a demand but creating one instead. In the southeast, marketing of these tours that are offered on the Mendenhall Glacier took years of marketing and promoting. It wasn't a demand that a visitor thought of, so they weren't okay. In conclusion, I would like to say that the Alaska Environmental Lobby opposes the bill. We urge continued protection of park resources and support of the public process. And we would like for you to try to resist commercial pursuits that are apparently not in the public interest. Thank you very much for your time.
Senator Lashen, I must be a little confused, but maybe the testimony you're giving sounds like the concern is for flying over the park, period.
No, landing.
It's not. Well, are we talking about just two landing sites or one landing site?
Yeah, but in order to get there, flights have to occur. And the flights that are continuing to go over the park are going to stop.
Well, they're not going to change that.
Right.
And neither case, are we? So really,
not.
No. So we're talking about one specific little site to land the helicopter. And all these other involvements and the wildlife and things of that nature would only be addressed right in that immediate area, I would suspect, not for the peaks or wherever you might be flying, which they're going to fly in either case, as I understand it. So, that in fact, I wonder what they're, if in fact they were going to do it from another site, from outside the park, it would be the same activities, and in fact, nothing could be done about it, I suspect.
Outside the park,
right?
It wouldn't be a public.
So, what you're saying, you imply, of course, that if they're given the site within the park, then of course that guarantees they're going to continue that operation there. And you're not really concerned about the specific site, but you're concerned about what happens when that helicopter leaves that site.
Yeah,
is that generally what you're saying?
Well, actually, I believe that every site in the park deserves park protection. And if a helicopter landing only in one site, all the sheep for miles around are going to disappear. And if it's occurring every single day all summer long, they have to relocate from that entire area.
Well, I suspect if that helicopter flies over one peak every day all summer long, there's not going to be sheep in that peak. And you're not going to be able to stop that.
Right, but does that mean that we should not try to stop this?
Well, he's stopping this for the overall purpose, I suspect, of stopping all flights. That's probably what you're trying to do.
I don't think that would be the result, but allowing landing is essentially the DNR sanctioning this use in a park, and we deem it inappropriate for those reasons.
One site.
Right. One site, or in the case of what was proposed, up to three sites, and up to several times a day. And then, obviously, you did hear that some resistance, that permit process versus concession process. Apparently in Southeast, that was quite a controversy. They had to actually divide the glaciers. This helicopter service provides access to this glacier, and this one provides it to the other. So I guess it just opens the door to even more. But even addressing just the one site, the wildlife in that area isn't protected anymore.
Would you address the economic impact of the operation versus not having an operation? Are we talking about more dollars into state coffers or into economy of the Anchorage area, or are we talking less dollars?
It depends. It's amazing what happens when concession relationships go on between parks, because quite often the way the concession is written, so much percent of the profit goes to the park. So it depends how you write it. It's real easy for a company to say they made no profit, they just broke even. So maybe the park would get nothing. So I don't know.
I'm not specifically talking about the park, I'm talking about the economy in general.
Well,
by prohibiting landing of those helicopters on that side of the park, I wonder if that would have a substantial or even an effect upon the general economy of the Anchorage area.
I don't know what kind of profit margin they operate at, so I can't respond to that. Because that's what it have to be. It would have to be the profit. Otherwise, it's not growth.
Well,
you know,
it's economic activity. I guess that's the whole
right.
point.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Senator Penny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patty, I had a couple of questions. It was the testimony. I had the same thing, though, concern, I think, that Senator Lyson did. It seemed to me like all the objections that you alluded to all have to do with flying. I really didn't, in however lengthy that was, everything that I heard was a problem in the air. And that problem exists with or without the legislation. The only other suggestion that I guess I did hear that we haven't commented on that might make sense to me and therefore spawn me to or urge me to make an amendment was that we had a lengthy public process, we had a lot of comments, there's dispute as to which way the comments fell. 80% of the letters went one way, but the majority of the testimony was the other way, apparently. So I guess I would concur we shouldn't do that again. We should just alter the resolution to allow, and that way we'd avoid having to go through that extensive public hearing process again, when in fact the park officials have already stated that there is not a conflict in that area. All the objections that you had are relative to flying, which are going to take place one way or another. So Mr. Chairman, I would urge that we consider on line 23 an amendment to delete reconsider the department's administrative decision that precludes, we deleted that and inserted the word allow helicopters tours, including evaluation of, and inserted those words. Then it would read, be it resolved, the Alaska State Legislature respectfully requests the governor to advise the Commissioner of Natural Resources to allow helicopter tours, including the evaluation of landing areas within Chugach State Park for helicopter areas.
Well, I would like to mention again, I don't feel like I really have a chance to respond to the flying versus landing. In order to land, you have to fly awful low, and that is an issue. A helicopter flying way up in the air probably doesn't affect the wildlife. Flying low does. You have to make an approach. And so I believe that the landing is just concentrating the same effects that happen in flying, but it's going to happen closer in
I appreciate your sincerity, but as a sheep hunter that spends an awful lot of time in sheep habitat, and deal with the military lot, military flying lot, and mineral exploration lot. A single area that's pinpointed here in one spot, and really, I guess I can't agree that there would be that type of negative. impact. I think she can very quickly learn to stay away from taking responsibility to do so.
Which is the point?
Well, I'm not certain if that's a negative impact. It isn't.
Could you move that amendment?
Yeah, I'd move it.
Objection. Objection is so ordered.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what are we doing? You're allowing it without any further public
Well, what
process?
We're doing is we're respectfully requesting the governor to advise the commissioner to do that. The commissioner doesn't have, I mean, this is just a resolution, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's been adequate public input, and there's already been a decision by the commissioner and a decision by the park people that there's not a negative impact. It's obviously a legislative policy decision whether or not to be allowed. And there's a real debate about the public hearing. We could go have public hearings again and count numbers of testimony, I guess.
So
that's what they know.
I'm either going to move the resolution. I got one more testimony. We got an amendment now. Okay. I've got to be out of here at 5:10 after, and I'll hold it until Friday.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest you hold it until Friday, and then we can hear the testimony.
I'm late for my personal appointment.
Don't like to see us make decisions.
I withdraw the amendment if you want to move the bill. If that's going to hold the bill up, I don't care. Yeah, because I think it's going to delay the process, and I think we need some action.
Now wait my testimony.
Yeah. Mark, do you want to just come up and state your name and say you're in favor of the resolution or you're opposed to the resolution, and then we can maybe just move it out?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Mark Johnson, representing the municipality of Anchorage. On behalf of Mayor Fink, I'd like to testify in support of the resolution. I really fear that what you're looking at here is a decision on the part of the department to manage the entire Chukach State Park as a wilderness area. And my reflection on the legislation authorizing the park in 1970 was that only the eastern part of the park would be managed as wilderness. We think that there's there's an opportunity to develop a new industry, and we support the resolution.
We have a motion.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Tulsa.
I would move the resolution number 62, individual recommendations. You ask an amendment.
Amended or unamended? Unamended. No objection. So ordered, and so our Senate concurrent resolution 62 is passed in the committee. There's no other business coming before the committee. We're adjourned.